seems to be getting less and less people at this class. Why is that? Is it that only this group is sincere in that, the other ones are not? Influence of the first class. They have that, this guy's nuts, I'm out of here. Right? Okay.
Emotions,
you know, I can feel things myself. Prabhu just talked to me about what he's going through, you know. Yeah.
To get that perfect relationship isn't very easy.
No, it's not. But the point is there is a science on how to go about it. Yes. And if that's understood, it doesn't mean, it's just like if you don't know, it doesn't mean it'll happen. And if you do know, it's a matter of application. And so it's just a matter of practice, then it starts to work. But when I say years, I mean years. Because the thing is one has one's own desires, what one expects, this and that. That's the advantage of training before marriage, is that you don't expect so many things. It means what you do will be generally unnoticed. You're not aware of it. And so it's just some habit. But in concept, you don't have a problem. So as soon as it's pointed out, immediately you accept it. But if the training's after marriage, it's more difficult because you already have the concepts of what you think marriage should be like. You know, not that it can't be obtained. In other words, if one's attached to a particular form, that may or may not, right? That particular mood, then there is the element that you have to know how to get it. Even the form, you have to know how to get it. You know, it's just like when you're doing it, you're cooking, you want it to look a certain way or smell, you have to know what to do. You know, you can't put in, you know, cumin seeds and expect it'll smell like saffron. You know, it's going to, you know, it's you have to know what you're doing. But then you can just say, well, it is a spice, but I want it to be this spice. Why that? And so then you have to put that spice. So that's the thing, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Also, what I was thinking is that you have relationships with people and you sort of hold that relationship, you know, and you have to be extremely patient to pull yourself back to maybe see what the other person's needs are or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, it's all based on qualities. But you have to be humble and tolerant and respectful and not expect anything for yourself. Anyway, as a devotee, if you follow those four, you can make anything work. But that's because that's the essence of etiquette. You know, so all rules in the Shastra are all based on those four. Like that, and Kirtaniya Sadhari, that it should always be in connection with the Lord. So that's the okay. Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, I just remembered we didn't deal with this question. So, page 32. So hopefully it'll be short now. Householders should not associate with others' wives or prostitutes. Okay, just on that. So now, whether this means you should not associate with others' wives as a category and prostitutes as a category, or whether one shouldn't associate with others' wives and the prostitutes that they're seeing. But, you know, you can associate with, I mean, of course, your own wife and therefore your own prostitutes. Right? That's the question, right? So, basically, it's saying that they should not indulge in any association other than with their own wives according to religious scriptures. So then that means that others' wives and yours and others' prostitutes are left out. Is that okay? So then, moving on. So it says, other than, he means not indulge in any associate, other than. Okay. Okay, so.
Their own wives?
Yeah, I was waiting for that one. I was thinking, well, there's one more. Is he going to ask this one? Sometimes I come across these things just thinking, wow, okay, someone's going to ask this one. And if nobody does, I generally leave it alone. Sometimes I'll bring it up. Sometimes I just leave it. So that one I was going to leave. Wives means according to whether you're following in the Vedic, because we would have more than one wife or not. So if one has, point is this is recommended for spiritual life, you only have one wife. Those who are more on the material platform, they have more, but the point is, as difficult as this with one, if you have two, it means it's double the difficulty. It's not that it's, you know what I'm saying? Therefore, generally only very, you know, powerful, very cultured, or very wealthy people would get involved with that. But the point is if they're intelligent, they don't. Right? Like that. Because then besides just the problem of you dealing with the wife, and then you have another one to deal with, and the moods that they'll be in will be different at every time. You have between the wives. You know?
So it's not just double.
Yeah, it's actually, no. It would probably be tripling. Yeah, it's probably some, you know, how you say, algorithm, you know, is there, of, you know, the percentage that it goes up, you know? Yeah, so you have one, you know, the trouble dealing with one. Or when there's two, then it goes up, it's actually 47. So, and when you add three, then it's, you know, 293. And then with four, then it becomes 5,200, like that. You know, there's probably some, you know, mathematical calculation you can make. You know. So the point is that you're trying to go back to Godhead, and but one has attachment for the association of women. Does that make sense? So in here, when we define association with women, that means the association between man and woman. You know what I'm saying? So the same principle applies for women as it does for men. So the point is that, because that when we say association of women, it means the association between man and woman is on the woman's terms. Does that make sense? So therefore, association of women, so it would work there, because it's association of women, meaning with women or of women. Does that make sense? You know, the management of this school, you know, it's saying, so it can be either, does that make sense? So the association of women can mean that you're with women or you're, or of women, meaning on their terms. So it's synonymous. So it can be either, does that make sense? So on their terms means, it's just, let's give an example. Let us say, you have a horse. Okay? Now, how do you keep a horse? In a pen?
Nice barn thing.
That?
Stable.
Paddock. Paddock, corral. I think American we say corral. Same thing. But you understand, means there's a place where they live and then there's the area that they can move within. Right? That's the paddock. So, the point is, that's what the man does. He sets what's the boundary. But now, every day when you come to visit the horse, is it going to be in the same place? That you can't say. And if you want to see the horse, you have to go up to where the horse is. That's the point. So it's like the man, because they say, no, but the man, he sets the field. But what happens with the field? You know, saying the man has a kitchen, right? And he provides, either he buys the things or he provides the money, the woman buys the thing. And so there's so many things in the kitchen. That means there's so many options of what could be cooked. But what's cooked, that's up to the woman, not up to the man. Right? Unless there's a special occasion or she asks. But it's not that, because he said that's the way it goes. He can do that. But then the difficulty is the man kind of likes one thing all the time. And so then women like variety. So if they have to do that all the time, what happens is their need for variety won't be attended to. So on that side, then they'll just become lax. So even his one thing, they won't necessarily cook it nicely. You know what I'm saying? For the man, it's that one thing, and he gets into it, and how many different ways he could do it, and this and that. And you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, how many days can the stew sit in the pot before it gets, you know, really funky? You know, how many hours between when you reheat it up before it gets funky? You know, he'll work out all those nice scientific things. You know? No? Yeah. So like that. But the woman knows it has to be variety. If you ate one thing today, it's got to be quite different the next day. If you really like it, then you can do the same thing, or you know, you really have to like it to exactly do the same thing, but probably variety. And then it has to be very different. Does that make sense? So that variety they'll do. So if you stick to it, no, you just want this, and that's the way it's going to be, then the feminine nature doesn't come out. That means the masculine, other than your control of it, but your enjoyment of it, then it's just the food. It's just you and the food. It's not you and your wife and the food. So that's the difference. You know, man-woman relationship means husband and wife with food as a medium. Not it's the man and the food and the wife just arranges it. You understand? That's called a servant, or that's called a mommy. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem. So most men, when they're contemplating the husband-wife relationship, they're not actually dealing with the husband. Their concept is not husband-wife. Does that make sense?
What about the part of the ladies?
What
they think and they contemplate?
Contemplate meaning?
You just mentioned that when men contemplate their relationship.
Oh, because for the women, it's always the relationship's always there. It's just a matter of whether the free flow of emotion is there or the husband's being disciplined. That's it. But there's no question that the husband's not included like that. That's the point, is the man can include or not because of that element of sankarshan. So they can be just in that atmarama stage where they don't actually think of rasa. Right? So that's why they have to, it has to be something for the prajumna aniruddha vasude. It has to work from there. Otherwise, it's sankarshan and then dealing with the field, but in a mechanical way. But it's the results that are coming from the field rather than the personal exchange. Does that make sense? Like that. So it's that. But even if the wife is dealing with indifference, so it's not. Yeah, but even that's a punishment. Yeah. Is that okay? Okay, does that make sense? So, therefore, since it's there, one sticks with one wife so that he can focus, see that he does it right, get the maximum, you know, dealings exchange there, so that whatever he's looking for will have been addressed. And then, but it also leaves maximum time for spiritual engagement, because if it's one woman, then it's very easy to make the arrangements. If there's many, it's going to be very difficult. But the point is more than one means you have to have facility. It's not that you're living in your house and whatever it is, you bring all the wives in there. No, you have your house, that's for the one wife. The other wife has her own house. You understand? I have a godbrother, I forget what country he's from, it's something in Central America. It's one of those Caribbean. I think it's one of the Caribbean islands, but I'm not sure. He has, I think, 115 brothers and sisters. Because his father has something like, I forget what it is, 25, 26 wives. Yeah. But each one has their own house. And not in some little hole in the wall. They have their own house. And so the wife and all her kids live in that house. you know.
And he has a schedule?
I have that detail I didn't ask, because I found out about this back in the 70s before I even applied my attention to this area. But if I ever bump into him again, I'll definitely ask. But the point was this. But he was like the commissioner of police. So good facility, you know, like that. And so he doesn't have a problem with feeling that he's a man, right? So like that. So somehow another 26 wives. So I guess occasionally they would have get-togethers, you know. Can you imagine that? 115 or 120 or... I forget, it was 115 or 125 brothers and sisters. And he was a really nice guy, so it seemed that there was very nice, that the dealings were really happening and all that. You know, but that's one of the more extreme. I know of another devotee like that. He has two wives, but they each have their own full house, three-story house, but not next to each other. That's the far-out thing. There's a house in between. Because if it's next to each other, each one will complain the other one's looking in the window and spying. So there's one house in between. You know, but it's just, it means, you know what I'm saying? It just means that they're this far apart. Yeah. And so, and the far out things for the kids, it's just one house. So the kids move back and forth between them. I think there's seven kids or something like that. They move back and forth. But the women, they have their house and that. So when the father's in this house, all the kids are over there. When the father's in this house, all the kids are over there.
Does that work with 125?
I'm not sure, because there they were all over the city. You mentioned that all the houses were all spread all over the city. Maybe there was a... Because this one guy, I know, he was Indian. But so maybe there's a little bit more of a peaceful consideration. But on the other ones, they were Hispanic, so it may have been that there's more of, they get too close, there's war. So, you know, you got to make sure they're far enough apart, you know, that you can't get upset and storm out of your house and walk over next door and you know, like that. So. But it's a very, very, very big, so that's why generally, unless someone has great facilities and great amount of passion, it's not even a consideration. And Ramachandra, who's in that position, because his father, we hear about three wives, right? Those are the main ones. Because you can maximum have eight main wives for the king. Means kshatriyas, who they means, in other words, those wives are queens. But he had 300 wives. Dasara had 300 wives. That means the other ones weren't on that level of nobility. You know, not heard about much, but if you look at it, it'll mention it, but it'll just be in one sentence, because it'll only talk about those three. Because the story will always be about the queens, not about the other ones. You know what I'm saying? So, but Ram only had one. Because the point is, this one wife means then you can focus on spiritual life. So somehow or another, your Western religion somehow also focus on one wife, because the point is that it's proper for spiritual life too, as I would think it would be also worrying about neglect. You know, they're not going to take care properly. Yeah, well they're Protestants. You know, and saying so there you have such a variety, but then but even within the Protestants, there's the old school and the new. So officially, it's not allowed.
Right.
So many of them have, but it's not official. Like that. Because that was how they were admitted into the Union. Because Utah was only Mormons.
Yeah.
So it was that they could only be admitted if they would not follow practice the having many wives. Okay, so are we okay with that now? So we can move on? The two doubts are cleared? Okay. Now let us consider... Okay, 33. Now let us consider Sangha in the form of attachment. Attachments are of two kinds. Attachments for prejudices and attachments for assets. Conditioned living entity has been performing fruitive activities and endeavoring for knowledge since time immemorial. And the prejudice that have developed in his subtle body as result are called ancient prejudices. Those prejudices are known as one's nature, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 5:14. The embodied spirit, master of the city of his gates, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. Right, so the material nature, in other words, he doesn't act, he doesn't get others to act, and he doesn't create the results. So the modes of nature do that. So he simply desires, so he takes part in it. That's why the element of cultivating that we're an instrument becomes very important. Because even though it appears we're involved as an assistant. We're not actually the one causing it to happen, not the modes of nature. That's material energy causes that to happen. Like that. Notice that the embodied spirit, master of the city of the body, right? Because that's why he's the master, that's because of the mood. Sri Balarai Vidyabhushan comments, the primordial material desire that is active since time immemorial is called one's nature. Due to such a desire, the living entity is supplied with material bodies and other paraphernalia. False identification with the bodies causes one to act and causes others to act, although this is not the pure soul's real constitution or nature. So what we're seeing here is that this attachment of prejudices, one is means it's known as one's nature. So now it's also getting back, how are we defining this nature? How far back are we going? Right? We're not dealing with constitutional. But, you know, it means you have the particular conditioning you're in now that comes from a long line of being in the material world and the action and reaction from that. So what you like and don't like. But you also have, we're seeing, get to the element of I'm the controller and enjoyer. That's the original, right, you know, prejudiced, you know, so to let you know, I'm God, not God, you know, like that. Again, from the Gita 18:60, under illusion, you are now declining to act according to my direction, but compelled by the work born of your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of Kunti, right? So he's going to act as the controller and enjoyer through the medium of he's a Kshatriya, right? So being a Kshatriya didn't just happen. That's based on one's previous activities, mentalities, value systems, then it comes to that platform. Right? But that's based on that the ultimate you're a controller and enjoyer. Remember we were discussing weakness of heart. Is you have the original, the weakness is that I'm controller and enjoyer. The specific is I want to control in this specific way and enjoy in this specific way. That's the secondary. Regarding the bondage of the prejudice of knowledge, the Bhagavad Gita 14:6 says, O sinless one, the mode of goodness, being purer than the rest, being purer than the others, is illuminating. And it frees one from all sinful reactions. Those situated in that mode become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. Sri Balarai Vidyabhushan comments, I am wise, I am happy. By this pride, the living entity is bound by goodness. Right? Because they're pious, and they know it, but they become bound by it because they become proud of it. People's association with karma and jnana is the result of attachment born from the prejudices of one's nature that are produced from past karma and jnana. Right? So he's given the prejudices are in karma. That is the specific nature. And jnana is what, you know, the knowledge that one has. Like that. Because to have a particular prejudice, there must be a particular knowledge. Right? How do you be a Kshatriya unless the duties of Kshatriyas make sense to you? You know what I'm saying? So for a king, he's sitting there, he has nothing. Right? But he knows how to go from that nothing to getting backing, to having an army. To being able to establish the kingdom. Right? He knows how to do that. And it's not like him a big deal. It'd be like the businessman, how to start a business. He has nothing, but he knows how to go about getting it and starting the business. Right? The artist has nothing, but he knows how to go about getting the facility to express himself. Right? Brahman has nothing, but he can take that and educate people. Does that make sense? So the whole point is, so there's knowledge, is there? And so then following one's prescribed duty, that means being situated in the mode of goodness, right? So whatever the mode that the occupation is controlled under, but it doesn't mean that the living entity themselves can't be controlled by goodness. You know what I'm saying? Like the Vaishya, to be a Vaishya means passion and ignorance, right? Because there must be passion for profit, right? But there's that ignorance because of that thing that it's mine and everything like that, and the sense of enjoyment and all that. So they have one part that's the passion, like the Kshatriya, and the other part that's the ignorance, like the Shudra. Right? So that gives you a Vaishya. Right? But it's not that they can't be very dutiful and act according to scripture and do everything very properly. So then they're in the mode of goodness. But they become bound by that goodness because they're proud. I am religious. Right? I am good. I am nice. I give in charity. I do all these different things. I perform all my duties very nice. So they have knowledge, but they get bound by that. They're the bigger the guy, the more happy they are. Everybody else, the bigger the guy, the more they become humble and like that. Really humble, formal. Vaishyas just get in ecstasy. So. No, cheesy grin generally means Vaishya.
Cheesy.
Yes.
So only bhakti doesn't give any qualities.
Only bhakti, yes, doesn't leave any. It means it will be dissolved like that. That's the point, is that everything else, you perform an activity, it gives a reaction, so therefore it's going to have an effect on the conscious, on your identity, on that nature, on the prejudice. But bhakti, because you're performing the activity for Krishna, you're only an instrument. So therefore it doesn't have an effect on you. Right? It means other than getting purified. Then you get both. But the point is, the sense, the devotional service is the prominent element, at least that's what one would be trying for. Then it will have an effect in that it will create difficulties for you. Right? But it's not that it's necessarily going to have that much of an effect on future life, right? Because the idea is that you go back to Godhead, there isn't a future life. But if there is a future life, you know, unless you're an acharya, then the difficulty may be is that it will be based on that attachment. So that will have an effect. You know what I'm saying? But the idea of the Mistra Bhakti is that whatever is mixed is connected to the Lord. Right? So then in the beginning is it's your thing, and then you renounce, then it's progressive. If it's you do the thing, it's for you, and then sometimes it's for Krishna, sometimes it's for you, then the mix is more severe. So it'll be considered of a lower quality. If it's always the result will be for Krishna, but if your result's for Krishna, then it's getting better. So the nice karma is there. But then it gets to the point where you're just engaging, it means you're doing that work for Krishna. So that will be improvement over that. So then you're not in entangled at all. And then but you may appreciate the situation. You prefer that situation. But then when it's you're just serving Krishna and therefore you're using your facility, then that's the best. Because then there's no, means other than working with it, there's no connection with the conditioning. Does that make sense?
So it means the devotees, the more they practice, the less prejudices?
Yeah, the more they practice and especially the better the consciousness, then the less of this prejudice is there. So it goes down.
So actually that's what we call purified?
Yes, that's what we say is purified. Because when we say we become purified, it means you remove anartas. So anartas are there because of the ancient prejudices. Like that. It's just a way of... Well, it's because when you analyze, you put it back into scientifically what it is. Otherwise, you generally discuss things according to how it's colloquially used. You know? So that people put it into that social context and all that. But because you want to avoid prejudices, therefore you describe it in a way that it separates it actually from the social application. And doing that, then one is able to analyze it. Because if there's no specific prejudice on it, it can be discussed. Right? So it's like when we're discussing on that level, then if we're accustomed to that, or we've dealt with all these things before, it just goes by very nicely. Right? But if you see if someone new comes, then you can see the prejudices come up. Because we're talking about, you know, element of karma yoga, and we're getting into the fine part of, you know, say, okay, Arjuna is a Kshatriya, so that he is engaging himself for Krishna's satisfaction, that's devotion, that he's using the Kshatriya nature as the medium, that part is actually not the devotion. But it becomes spiritualized by being in touch with. But it itself is not spiritual. It's not devotional. Like that. When we get into those kind of things, then it'll be understood. But then, so as new to hearing that, then it'll be a problem that they'll say, but we can engage it in Krishna's service like that. So they're trying to justify their own attachments for engaging those things that we've already established that that's okay. We're just trying to make a distinction so you can tell the difference between what is materially being engaged and what is the actual devotional. So that one doesn't allow the one to overpower the other. Otherwise, this, I'm engaging the Kshatriya nature in Krishna's service, so it's spiritual, so anything to do with Kshatriya nature is spiritual. That will be the mistake if we don't analyze that. You have to try the other ear. Oh. Yes.
When we discussed the word prejudice, it was mentioned that the meaning was something based on your experience. And here in this connection, it seems that ancient prejudices come from your experience.
Yeah. What I'm saying is bringing up what it is that attachment for prejudices means, prejudice means what you consider important that doesn't have any logical meaning or forum for discussion. In other words, your dogmatic attachments. That would be the... Yeah. Like that. But the point is they come from previous activities in karma and jnana. That defines the nature now. Like that. Right. So Arjuna then, you know, just as an example, he's a Kshatriya now. So that means in the past he's performed activities in the area of karma and jnana that have produced the position of being in a Kshatriya now. Does that make sense? So that's then what we're talking about. So it's coming from there. But we understand ultimately that goes back to I'm the controller, enjoyer. Right? And then whether it's in karma or jnana, that's a detail. And then, what specific thing within karma and jnana? That's further detail. But all that together, you can say, is, you know, ancient prejudice. You know.
Like that. Is that what Krishna means when he says that the living entities are born into desire and hate?
Yeah, they're born into that because that's their position. It's coming from previous lifetimes. His point is someone's being born, you know, that we know about, then they've been here. You know, if you're talking about Brahma, but he's not born. You know, it's like, so he's not coming from that. He's being given the opportunity to cultivate, you know, this desire and hatred. Yeah, I mean, if you were somehow or another able to work out from that position, you know, one's, you know, constitutional nature, then one could say, then it would be, okay. I mean, it's still a waste of time, but then you would just go back to Godhead from there. So, you know, one life in the material existence as Lord Brahma, and then go back to Godhead.
Wasn't so bad,
you know? Yeah. But the problem is by the number of living entities here in this universe, there's a lot of people who didn't figure that one out. So, the majority, it seems that the more majority of those here didn't work it out. So, and it says the most pious living entity in the universe takes birth as Brahma. So then that can mean is that whoever is the most pious and have the qualification from within comes up to Brahma. You know, then there's more of a chance, maybe. You know? Right? But then it's not counting, because if there's a living entity coming in for the first time, they're naturally more pious than anybody. So they're automatically going to get the seat. But if you're qualified and they're qualified, then he'll get one universe, you'll get your own universe. There's enough universes to go around, don't worry. There's no need to fight. Okay. People's association with karma and jnana is the result of attachment born from the prejudices of one's nature that are produced from past karma and jnana. Right? So in other words, the karma and jnana now is the result of attachment born from the previous, you know, proclivities towards karma and jnana. So that's the point, is that Prabhupada makes the point that by studying this life, you can understand last life. You know, everyone says, oh, go to this, find out what I was last life. You can, it means, what are you attached to? What is necessary? What can you not function without? Those had to come from last life. Otherwise, from this life, what's the big deal? You know, you can develop then in this life. But then you can understand what develops and what was the general proclivity. Maybe it didn't have a detail. But then it could come up.
So for example, if something comes your way in this life that you don't really pay much attention to,
no.
Would it be possible that you say you've experienced that before in the previous life?
Yeah, well, it could be, but at any case, you're at the point now where it's not so important to you.
Right.
But to someone else, then it's, you know, it would be a big opportunity. So that's the thing. So then you understand is that that wasn't so important for you, so therefore that must be based on previous life's experience or endeavor like that. So what you were previously doesn't really matter. The point is what baggage you have now that you have to deal with, that's what's important. You know what I'm saying? In the previous quote, the Mayavadi's bondage of jnana is displayed. Regarding the karmis, the Bhagavad Gita 3:26, so this one, being pure, the mode of goodness, O sinless one, the mode of goodness, being pure than the others, is illuminating, and it frees one from all sinful reactions. Those situated in that mode become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. And then Baladev says, I am wise, I am happy. By this pride, the living entity is bound by goodness. So he's saying that this is specifically for jnana. Right? Regarding karmis, then Bhagavad Gita 3:26. That was previous one's 14:6. So as not to disrupt the minds of the ignorant men attached to the fruit of results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. From ancient prejudices, one develops association with karma, jnana. Association with these prejudices, ancient prejudices, are inevitable. Despite all attempts, up to suicide, one cannot give up one's prejudices. Really? So that means suicide still won't solve the problem. So if suicide won't do it, that means busing will never solve the problem. Right?
Busing.
You won't get that one. Everyone's wondering. In America, if you say prejudice, the first thing comes to means of all prejudices will be black, white, like that, you know, like that. So then, busing was as they came up with this great idea is that they have to integrate the schools so blacks and whites are mixed. So the kid would be sitting there in his house and those schoolers next door, he'd have to get in the bus and be bussed across the city to another school so they get the proper balance. So that means kids from all over the city were being bused all over the place, and that rather than just having local schools, and if there happened to be some mix, then it's fine, or training the kids like that. So their idea of how to get rid of prejudice was by busing.
Did it work?
No, it didn't. Not so much.
Just contaminated
the business. Yeah, that's all. That's what I'm saying. If up to suicide doesn't work, then busing definitely is not going to work. Okay, so now we see you don't disturb the minds of the ignorant who are attached to fruit or result because the prejudices and karma. So it's also just as deep. So therefore, what is their activity? You leave them in that and connect that to the Lord. Does that make sense? So whatever they're attached to, show them how to connect that attachment to Krishna. Right? That's how you're going to deal with the prejudice. Is that what I'm saying?
The counselor could have saved a lot.
The counselor?
No, the council, you know, the local councils, they could have saved a lot of taxpayers' money.
They could have, yeah.
They read it.
Yeah, they definitely would have. And then they could have improved the quality of education. The prejudices or attachments for good and bad attained in this life due to association are called modern prejudices. Right? So ancient prejudices are from previous lifetimes. And go back, you don't know how far. Modern will be attachment for good and bad in this lifetime. Like you don't necessarily have an idea, but from association in this lifetime, then you come up, well, this is important or that's important. So that's modern prejudices. Does that make sense? You know, so you may be by nature from ancient prejudice tend towards being nonviolent, right? But from an association with the other people in college and things like that, then you become, you know, anti-war and then march against, you know, not this war, that war, different things like that. So that would be the modern because it's specifically applied there. But the ancient principle that you would be inclined towards that. Right, because on a campus, how many people are out there marching? Right, there's a certain amount, and then most of them aren't. Does that make sense? So it's always, you know, it's just a matter of what's there. So you have your different, yeah. Yes.
Prejudice and your inclination of asanas. Karma, which accumulated, you get certain inclinations.
Yeah, your certain inclinations within karma and jnana. In other words, your values within karma and jnana. And so that will be then you'll have a physical manifestation in the body, in mind, in the situation you're in, your facilities, that will give rise to that. So if you've been pious about it, you'll have the facilities. You're not pious about it, even though you have the desire, you'll get them. You know what I'm saying? So like that. It means the point is ultimately it always had to connect back to Shastra, because if you're getting any good thing from it, that's coming from Shastra. If you're getting any bad thing from it, that's because you didn't follow. So ultimately it has to go back. Anybody's benefit they're having is coming from previously following the Shastra. That's there. Okay. Everyone in the world is under the control of these two kinds of prejudices, ancient and modern. Being bound by Maya, a living entity cannot give up an ancient and modern wicked prejudices. At that time, ancient wicked prejudices become his second nature. Only Sadhu Sangha can reform the attachment to prejudices. Sadhu Sangha is the only remedy for this disease. Unless one reforms his attachment to prejudices, one cannot attain perfection in devotional service by any means. Because the thing is, as we said before, is the attachment is what gets in the way. So these go way back. So the only way to get rid of them is association with devotees. Right? An association of more advanced devotees. Right? So that's the point. You may practice it with equals. or being you're sort of juniors, but you have to see you're getting that more advanced association. That's what then will give us the purity and the strength to actually deal with them. Because one point one just has to understand is they're not so valuable, right? We'll think they're so valuable, but someone else, they're not valuable at all. Our attachments that we're really attached to, someone else doesn't consider them very important at all. Does that make sense? That, or at least he is working with, it's workable. You know, he's able to see and he's able to deal. So the point is, the sadhu here means someone who is spiritually elevated. So they can be a renunciate or a householder, right? You know, it just has to be, just like we see before, is that traditionally the householders were the gurus, right? Because then they could be involved in so many different things. The sannyasis weren't so much because they were always traveling and all that. But when you're preaching, then it doesn't really matter. Right? So yeah. Yeah, so sadhu sangha. Because otherwise then that 10th offense will be there, and because of that then they'll be angry, so you'll commit the blasphemy devotees or won't take the spiritual master's instruction. Because of attachment you're distracted, so you don't focus on the holy name, so then that's there. You know what I'm saying? So all these different things, and then you start making up your own philosophies to maintain your position or all that kind of thing. It has been seen that many fortunate souls have given up attachment for prejudices by the association of pure Vaishnavas. From the scriptures, it is well known that by the association of Sri Narad Muni, the hunter, Magrari, and Ratnakar, Valmiki, attained auspiciousness. Like, we've heard of Magrari, but what was his name? Magrari. Ratnakar. Dasu Ratnakar. Dasu means, you know, dacoit, bandit. So his name was Dasu Ratnakar. It means his specific name was Ratninosis, but he was in that category. So he was known as Dasu Ratnakar. So he became Valmiki and wrote the Ramayana. You know, so that's the example. We just think of him as a great sage and all that. But before that, he was a bandit on the road. Because Magrari, we know the story of Magrari, the hunter, and then Narad Muni came along and asked about it. So Dasaratnakar, then he's there. Narad Muni's coming on the road, and he stops him on the road with his sword. And, you know, so you know, give me your money, or you know, we kill you. And Narad Muni's kind of like, you know, okay, cool, but why are you doing all this? Just like last week's question, you know, we're interested in these. Why are you doing all this? So he says, you know, maintain the family. He says, okay, you maintain the family, but you're doing it by a sinful means, right? So then that means there'll be karma accrued by the wealth. So that means whoever is using that, they would naturally share in that karma. So since you're taking on so much sin, then to maintain your family, then is the family willing to help in that taking on of the sin? Or are they expecting it's just all with you? He says, of course they're going to take. He says, no, he says, you go check. And, you know, and his point is, I'm a sadhu, so I said, I'll wait here, I'll be here. And then, you know, you come back, and then we'll discuss about your, you know, the wealth business, you know. So he went home, and then he presented, you know, very confidently to his wife and his kids, you know, this and that. And he said, so of course they're willing to take it. And they said, well, what do you mean? He says, you know, you're the father. You're supposed to take care of us. How you take care of us, that's your business. So if you're a dacoit, so that means the sin goes to you. What has it got to do with us? You know, we're just supposed to be taken care of. So then he was very shocked. So he goes back to Narad Muni and this and that, what to do. So then he explains to him spiritual life. And he becomes a sadhu. And then he writes the Ramayana. So that's Ratnakar. So that's the point is, from the scriptures well known by the association of Sri Narad Muni, the hunter, Magrari, and Ratnakar, Valmiki, attained auspiciousness. Right? They both became great devotees by that. So they gave up that previous prejudices, good and bad, from ancient or modern. Like that. Because otherwise, to be a dacoit, to be a hunter, that would be a lot of very strong prejudices from the previous life. Yes.
Can we say that they actually received mercy? It wasn't done by themselves, definitely.
Done by themselves, means?
Like the process of sadhana bhakti, you try to get rid of that bad karma. You endeavor yourself.
Yeah, no, you endeavor yourself, but the point is it was by associating with the sadhu that that happened, because your practices will be in the association of sadhus. Good association. No, it is mercy, but the point is they took advantage of it. Because Narad Muni also meets other people, and they don't necessarily take advantage. You know what I'm saying? You know, like Sukadeva Goswami. Now, there's good association, right? But he's walking down the road, and, you know, all the kids are following behind him, jeering and making, laughing and joking and that. And all the ladies are following because he just looks so good, right? You know, 16 years old, you know, he's a liberated person, right? So there's no sin. So you can imagine there will be no physical faults, right? So, you know. So he's going to, you know, it's like that. The ladies are following, and the kids are following. Right? But they're not taking advantage that here is a great, you know, sadhu like that. You know. Does that make sense? You know, so like that. I could probably say the girls taking a bath. Now they took more advantage of that. You know, they respected him and all that. But the others are. The foremost instruction of Sri Ramanujacharya is this. If you cannot purify yourself by any endeavor whatsoever, then just go sit with the Vaishnavas and you will achieve all auspiciousness. Not bad. I think there was one, I'm not sure it was Ramanujacharya, told one of his disciples that there was this pond where all the Brahmins would all come and take bath, but they were all smartas and they weren't trees or stuff like that. And so he told this one devotee, just go down there to that pond, sit in some out of the way corner that he doesn't bother anybody, and sit where his feet are in the water and just sit there and chant, or, you know, whatever he wants to do. So because he was such a great devotee, then by keeping his feet in the water, and the Brahmins would come every day and take bath there and take the water home and use that for, you know, drinking and cooking and everything like that. Then after some time, then they all became purified and they all became Vaishnavas. Right? So it does work. So mercy is not bad. You know, so, oh, come on, it's just mercy. You know? Like that. What about the work? Like that. I think that's left over from the workers' worship from the, what do you call it? There's a Russian...
Arbeitmachsfrau.
Okay, well, that's a German one. That one, we're not so. I wouldn't use that in this connection. Let's try it. I'll stick to the name. Yeah, you know, all the different words.
It's Animal Farm again, I think.
But I think that one was on. It was on that very nice wrought iron gate over.
Auschwitz.
Yeah.
No, Arbeitmachsfrau was on Auschwitz, but work means worship.
Because that's the communist one.
I think it's
yeah, that would be farm. Animal Farm. No, but that was Marx. Because that was just a parody on communism. That's yeah. So all the different personalities in there were personalities in the whole, you know, like that.
By observing the pure characteristics of a devotee, in a very short time, a person's mind is changed. His attachment for sense enjoyment decreases, and the seedling of bhakti sprouts in the heart. One even gradually develops a taste for the Vaishnava's food and behavior. We have seen how, by associating with Vaishnavas, people have given up many anarthas. Taste for association with women, thirst for wealth, desire for sense enjoyment and liberation, inclination for karma and jnana, eating meat and fish, drinking wine, smoking tobacco, and the desire to chew pan. By observing a Vaishnava's quality of not uselessly wasting time, many people have easily given up anarthas such as laziness, oversleeping, useless talk, urge of speak, etc. We've also seen that by associating with Vaishnavas for some time, someone's cheating propensity and desire for fame have been destroyed. We have seen with our own eyes that by associating with Vaishnavas with a little affection, all other association, such as attachment for prejudices, has been vanquished. Those who are attached to winning fights, those who are expert at attaining domination, those who are eager to accumulate great wealth, all such types of people have attained devotional service by being purified in the association of Vaishnavas. Even the hearts of persons who think, I will defeat the world by my arguments and attain supremacy, have been pacified. Without the association of Vaishnavas, there is no alternative for reciting, rectifying the attachment for prejudices. Right, so just by, that's why International Society for Krishna Consciousness Society is by that association of pure devotees, then we're able to advance. Does that make sense? Because it means everybody has different anartas, right? So that means everybody has different good qualities. So then by associating with others, you see those good qualities and appreciate that, you become purified. You know, which purifies you of your anartas, but then the qualities you have, someone else appreciates, they get like this. So it works very nicely. You know, not that we should read this and go, yeah, so therefore, unless it's a nityasiddha, uttamadhikari, pure devotee, you know, advanced, you know, like this, that, you know, otherwise, no, don't bother with that one. Otherwise, why would he be writing this for us?
Means that we can help each other.
Yes. We
have a different prejudice, different qualities.
Yeah. So where your prejudice is, you know, that will be your anartha. Where it's not, then that will be someone else's inspiration.
Yes.
Like that. So like that, you know, the more people, then the more it kind of works. Is that okay? Yes. I mean, there is quality, of course, but here we're talking about that, you know, Nityasiddha dropped out of the spiritual sky, this and that. These other guys, you know, Magrari and Dasaratnakar, they met him once. He may have come back later to see how they were doing, but he met him once. You know what I'm saying? So we can see is, oh, it's not happening, but that's us. So then we can understand is, these guys were bad. So what's our position? You know, that they're saying, you know, constantly associating with such a personality for 11 years and still, you know what I'm saying?
Reminds me of Sri Prabhupada's purpose in Dhritarashtra Quits Home, when he's saying that even I'm not ashamed to admit this, that if it wasn't for that moment's association with Bhakti Siddhanta, I wouldn't have been able to carry on this great task.
Yeah. So it's just the natural. So the point is that we shouldn't consider that unless, you know, they're like Prabhupada, then it won't work. So nobody's like Prabhupada, so therefore there's no benefit. That one we should avoid. The point is that somebody is sincerely connected to the Parampara and is making their best endeavor to follow those instructions in their life, then that person's association you want. So by being with, then you should gradually, you know, because we're making it out that, you know, I'm fine, and so the quality of what I'm working with makes the difference. But it's also the quality of who's associating with the pure devotee. You know what I'm saying? You have to take advantage. So these person, Magrari and Ratnakar, when presented with Krishna consciousness, they took it seriously. You know, before that moment, they weren't interested or thought of it at all. You know, I mean, they were bad to the bone, right? You know, they were bad, right? But then when they came across it, they took it seriously, inquired about it, and applied it in their life. So that's why so quickly they got the results. So the point is, we have the opportunity, but unless you do something with it, there's no meaning. Is that okay? Yes.
Maharaj, so can we say that they received the Bhagavad initiation from Narada Muni?
I don't know if that would be important to bring out.
like that. But it's possible if there's no history of them formally taking initiation from somebody, then basically that's what happened. So that means they were able to come to that elevated platform very quickly so that they could take advantage of it. Because I think in both cases he came back later to visit. Without the association of Vaishnavas, there is no alternative for rectifying the attachment of prejudices. So that's the only way that those go. One should carefully give up attachment for material assets. People in general have spontaneous attachment for house, household paraphernalia, clothes, ornaments, wealth, wife and children's health, their own health, eatables, trees and animals. Some people are so addicted to smoking, chewing pan, eating fish and meat, and drinking alcohol that their practice of spiritual life is obstructed. Attachment for these things is averse through the constant practice of devotional service. If one does not carefully give up these things, then he cannot get happiness from his devotional service. Attachment to these things is easily destroyed by the association of devotees. By properly observing Hari Vasara, Ekadasi, and appearance days of the Lord, these attachments are vanquished. The rules of such vows are the provisions for diminishing one's attachments. Right? Because one has facility, but then at that time one's not using them. You know? Not at least materially. one is engaged. So that will give the purification. Hari Vasara. I'm not sure. Unless Hari Vasara means Ekadasi. Or it can mean something else. However it is, it can be Hari Vasara is just meaning something connected to Hari, and therefore Ekadasi. Or it can mean that it's three things, Hari Vasara, Ekadasi, and appearance days. I'm not sure. No one else seems to have any ideas. Of course, it means if any of these things are connected to Krishna, it's not the problem. Right? But if they're not connected, then it's always a difficulty. Right? It means so if the house is used for Krishna paraphernalia, one's clothes, ornaments, wealth, wife, children, all these different things are connected, then there's not so much of a problem. Right? But these other things, you know, eating meat, fish, drinking alcohol, smoking, chewing pan, these are a little harder to connect. Right? The problem is the person who could connect them would be very advanced, and they wouldn't be doing them anyway. So that's the difficulty. So that's why then. Observing Ekadasi means you're taking the day to put extra effort on remembering the Lord, right? And so you're reducing the bodily necessities by not eating grains or beans. That's Ekadasi. Then if you want to add more to that, then you do. But that's what Ekadasi is. That's what Lord Chaitanya gave. What are you saying? But that's the fundamental minimum. Anything else above that's detail. Not that it's a more developed. It's not that it's different angas. It's just more developed.
So this verse from Hari Mantavalas, which says that eating on Ekadasi is worse than eating cow's flesh or having sex with your mother, means eating grains.
Grains, yeah. Doesn't mean eating at all. No, it just means eating grains. But it can also mean eating, you know, non-devotional food. You know, that's unoffered, you know, karmic food, that's just, because that's bad anyway. You know, that's, you know, unoffered food is referred, you know, is mentioned as stool. So, you know, unless you're a pig, then, you know, not great. You know, so. So every day is a great day for a pig, right? So, you know what I'm saying? What is association and giving up association? Many people have doubts about this. The limit for giving up the association of materialists is described in Sri Upadeshamrita as follows. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts. Revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially. Accepting prasad and offering prasad are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. O sadhakas, one must accept proximity with both bad and good people as one passes his life. This equally applies to householders and renunciates. Proximity must be there. Nevertheless, one should not engage in bad association. Giving in charity, accepting charity, revealing one's mind, hearing one's mind, accepting foods and giving foods, if done with love, these are called sangha, or association. Giving some foodstuffs to a hungry person, accepting some charity from a pious person, is done out of duty, not out of love. Even if they are materialists, this type of engagement is not considered association. Right? So in other words, those elements that are part of human duty, one's performing those, that doesn't make it association. Association means when it's done with affection. Right? We're not talking about the, you know, Uttamadikari, who sees all living entities as pure devotees of the Lord and therefore has affection for everyone. We're not talking that kind of affection. You know, it means association kind of affection. Does that make sense? When acts are performed out of love, then it is association. Therefore, giving charity to pure Vaishnavas, accepting items of wealth from them, becomes satsang. Giving charity to a materialist or accepting charity from one, if done out of love, becomes asatsanga. So if it's done out of duty, then it's not. So that's why I was saying before, when Manu mentions about, you know, what activities are considered associating with those attached to sinful activities, then he before had mentioned that, you know, riding in the same, you know, cart with them or interacting with them and all is not. But then later verses he says, when asked what is, then he says riding the cart, talking with them. In other words, if you're just there and it's part of business or whatever it is and you're interacting, that's not. But if it's done out of affection, then it is. Right? So that's the difference. You had something? No.
Charity from materialists. So if you take, how does that work with, you know, those who are too materially absorbed, and then you try to engage them in acts of devotion. So they give you Lakshmi, and then you can engage it in Krishna's service.
Yeah, but you've engaged them. It's your duty. You're preaching. They're responding, and so then that's used in Krishna's service.
That's not accepting charity. That's not
asatsanga. No, because it says it's not done out of love. You're preaching.
No, but if it's family, then it's good.
The point is why are you getting them to give it?
Why? No, it's there. It's like giving.
So they're giving out of affection, so they're taking association.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? The point is for the materialist to associate with the devotee isn't the problem. It's that for the devotee to associate with the materialist, that's the problem.
So, but how are they associating with giving?
Because they're giving out of affection. Right? Other people are giving just because they're supposed to, but you said family members, so if they're giving, that's generally out of affection. So then if you use it in Krishna's service, then they get benefit. Is that okay? Not quite okay. The difference between the two, giving foodstuffs to a hungry person, accepting some charity from a pious man, is done out of duty, not out of love. Even if they are materialists, this type of engagement is not considered association. But if they are pure devotees, then such activities are performed out of love. When acts are performed out of love, then it is association.
So I'm performing duty by accepting.
Yeah, because you're accepting that because you're accepting that to use in some service, right? So the point is that it means you're a devotee, so you're accepting it from them. They happen to be family members. And because of that, then they'll be inclined to give you money while another devotee they won't. So that way then they get association.
Because they're doing it out of love.
Yeah. Does that make sense? You know, and your affection for them, you're engaging them in service. Does that make sense? It's not that you're just accepting money because, you know, they're such great guys and, you know, like that. I say great blokes, right? You know? Does that make sense? Yes.
For me also, confusion comes here, kind of, because what is affection, and I'm thinking maybe it's the qualities which are not connected with Krishna, which inspire us, you know, in materialist, inspire this affection, therefore it's kind of terminated because you're getting swayed away by some mundane qualities. This arouses your affection, which is, you know.
You're talking about yourself, or you're just talking about in general?
Well,
no, I'm saying you're talking about the application within the devotee.
Right. But, you know, this affection towards materialists, I'm trying to connect what this affection is, arises, and how it can...
How does it arise?
How it can be...
Well, because some you know, mundane consideration, there's some value there. Right? You have affection for what you value.
So if it's not connected with Krishna,
Then you'll get the asat sangha. But if it's connected to Krishna, then you won't. It means, so that how much is connected, that much is you're not. That what is not connected, that much you'll get. You know what I'm saying? So, see, what was being brought out is that we will, in our mind, I'm doing this for Krishna. You know? And ultimately it is. So ultimately you get the benefit, but the difficulty comes is in between, then one may not be necessarily seeing it just in connection with the Lord. Right? And because of that, then there'll be some difficulty. Right? There'll be some anartas there, so there'll be some reactions, so there'll be some disturbance. So the idea is to be able to find those, because it's not a matter of I've done the work, then given it to Krishna. That's the beginning stage. Later is I'm working for Krishna. So what's the difference between I do the work and give the result to Krishna and I'm doing the work for Krishna? What's the difference? Yeah. Well, I mean, in both of them, you're going
to
give away the result. Consciousness, but yeah, you're attached. The one is you're attached to it, that's why it's yours, then you'll renounce it. The other one is not yours, so there's nothing to renounce. It's already Krishna's. Right? So it's just a matter of... Means that you have one, you know, the one, you know, you have zero and you have 100. Right? So everything out in between is a combination. Right? One is more towards zero and 99 away from 100. 99 is one towards 100 and 99 away from zero. You understand? So it's how much is there. No, but what happens if it's, you know, 53? You know, so that means then it's, you know, 47 one side and 53 the other. That's all. You know what I'm saying? That's all it is. It's just, these are the two points. This is the method to work with it. Now, wherever it is in between, every individual will be different. You know, and in one area it'll be more advanced, another area it'll be not so advanced. Does that make sense? You know, some guy, he's not as attached, he's attached to his money, or he's not attached, but he's attached to his work, or that, but his position in society. You know? Does that make sense? So there's always something that's there. Otherwise, if there's not, why are we here? Right? And if we're here because we've come, you know, how you say, descended to preach, then we take your question as, you know, like Arjuna asks questions for the benefit of all the populace and that thing.
Is that attachment for the result because the conditioned soul's false identity requires that to maintain?
The point is, why is someone in this material world? What's ultimately what they want
to be?
Krishna.
God, to be God.
But why be God? What's the advantage?
Okay,
so you want to enjoy, right? So the point is that you can only enjoy results. Does that make sense? You perform the activity, it gives a result, so that result is what you enjoy. So when that result's given to Krishna, then the whole process becomes connected. Right? But now the question is whether you give the results to Krishna before you start the work or after you've obtained the result. That's the difference. Before is sannyas, after is renunciation. Both are good, but sannyas is better. Because it was always Krishna.
So there's more false ego in the person who is renouncing?
Yeah, there'll be a little bit more in that. But here's when we say more, and we're talking about, you know, so much, or this or that, or you won't go back to Godhead. You have to remember, if you probably give this example, you have attachment for one rasgulla. Or one gulab jamun, you won't go back to Godhead. You'll have to stay here to be born in the situation where you get that gulab jamun. Could. That's one way of that. I'm sure if brahmacharis were putting together a skit, that's how it would work out, right? Yeah. Or one will be born into a family that owns a very large sweet shop that specializes in gulab jamuns. Okay.
I was just thinking that connecting to the morning discussion on the feminine masculine, if you know the creation of sannyasa, the case would mean.
Sannyas means you've given the result before you started the work. It's not. We're not talking ashram here. We're talking consciousness.
But for men, would that mean to reject or suppress the masculine?
No, because the point is, are you the man? What's your language? Bulgarian. Okay. So now, you have subject and object, right? So, and then you have the verb, right? So the verb is doing the work, right? But what's going on? The subject is applying the verb onto the object, right? Dative is another case altogether. So the result's something else. Where does instrumental go? Instrumental is a case. Where is its connection? It's also connected to the verb. Right? But, so that means it's connected to the verb, but the verb is the activity is being carried out by the subject. Right? So the instrument means it's involved in the activity, the verb. But it's not actually the one doing it. You understand? Just like you're stirring the subject. Right? Right? If I say, you know, hey, can you please stir the subject? Does that mean that you go over there and stick your hand in the subject? Right? No, what do? Right? You use the spoon, right? So the spoon is the instrumental. So it's just in there scrubbing as much as you, if not more. But it's only an assistant. You understand? That's your position.
Like a cosmic spoon.
Yes, a cosmic spoon. A spoon made of Brahman. Huh?
during the primordial.
Yes, during the primordial soup. Is that what it says? That's where we are. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Salavita Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Jai Guru.